signs of walking back on its policies regarding Ukraine, and this has been clear in the U.S. not showing any interest in diplomacy and virtually cutting off all high-level talks. Not only this, Biden has time and again reiterated his support for Kiev, and the billions of dollars of aid is only a demonstration of the fact. Following the West's unconditional and unilateral support, Kiev has also pushed matters a step further and is now calling for strikes on Russia. Also, the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, called for NATO to launch what he called a preventive strike on Russia to prevent Moscow from using nuclear weapons. But this has raised questions about Kiev's ambitions and the chances that the move would spark World War III and possibly a nuclear war. The Kremlin also responded to the comment and said Zelensky was trying to spark a world war. The remark gave birth to internal disputes in Kiev, with Ukrainian officials downplaying what Zelensky said. Now, as the world is faced with several economic, social, and environmental challenges, the warmongering aspirations of the US and its allies seem to have pushed humanity to the point of no return. But many, including Washington and Kiev, seem to be more focused on pushing their own agenda forwards, regardless of what's at stake.
As the crisis in Ukraine is getting worse, chances for a diplomatic solution to the war are looking slim. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has signed a decree that formally declares the prospect of any Ukrainian talks with Kremlin leader Vladimir Putin, quote, impossible. The decree also approves the decision of Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council to strengthen Ukrainian defense. The decree came after Russia annexed four regions of Ukraine into its own territory. President Putin has just signed into law four unification treaties with the Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics, as well as the Kherson and Zaporozhye region. Russia says Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics split from Ukraine in 2014 following what Kremlin describes as the Maidan coup. Russia's decision to incorporate the regions into its own territory comes amid reports of Ukraine's military advances. According to President Zelensky, Ukrainian forces have retaken dozens of villages from Russia in the east and the south of the country. However, the latest maps revealed by Moscow showed Russian troops had already left many areas in Kherson and northeastern Kharkiv region.
Тільки за цю добу на Херсонщині від псевдореферендуму було звільнено і стабілізовано такі населені пункти, як Нововоскресенське, Новогригорівка і Петропавлівка. Рух продовжує.
Ukraine is now trying to make further inroads in the south and east before the colder weather arrives. Russia is trying to deploy the 300,000 reservists called up in a partial mobilization 2 weeks ago. But that would take some time before it can be operational. The developments come as the U.S. is sending more weapons into Ukraine.
This morning, President Biden spoke with President Zelensky to underscore that the United States will never recognize Russia's purported annexation of Ukrainian territory and will continue to support Ukraine as it defends itself from Russian aggression. President Biden informed President Zelensky that the United States is providing a new $625 million security assistance package to Ukraine as they continue to defend their country from Russia's invasion.
The new $625 million military package approved by the Biden administration includes additional weapons and equipment, including HIMARS, artillery systems and ammunition, and armored vehicles. The United States has now sent Ukraine more than $16.8 billion in military hardware. Russia has now warned that the shipment of new military hardware to Ukraine will risk direct confrontation with the United States. The supply of military products by the US and its allies not only entails protracted bloodshed and new casualties, but also increases the danger of a direct military clash between Russia and Western countries. Concerns are now rising over a possible nuclear confrontation between nuclear-armed states. Russia's President Vladimir Putin has already warned that his threat to use nuclear weapons is not a bluff. The war in Ukraine has already caused a crisis for the European Union. Energy prices have soared and the rising cost of living is putting many Europeans into poverty.
We have now to limit this inflationary impact of gas on electricity and everywhere in Europe. This is why we are ready to discuss a cap on the price of gas that is used to generate electricity. This cap would also be a first step on the way to a structural reform, an overall reform of our electricity market.
There are now signs that the support for Ukraine amongst Europeans is dropping. A survey by Opinions pollster has revealed that 60% of EU's population were on board with sending weapons to Kiev. The number was 64% back in March. It now appears that the lingering crisis in Ukraine could lead to social unrest across the continent. European leaders are concerned over the rise of far-right groups which could potentially create cracks within the anti-Moscow coalition in Brussels.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
What non-Muslims say about Ali, the first successor of Prophet Muhammad. Edward Gibbon, 1737 to 1794, considered the greatest British historian of his time, in his book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, says the following about Imam Ali. The zeal and virtue of Ali were never outstripped by any recent proselyte. He united the qualifications of a poet, a soldier, and a saint. His wisdom still breathes in a collection of moral and religious sayings, and every antagonist in the combats of the tongue or of the sword was subdued by his eloquence and valor. From the first hour of his mission to the last rites of his funeral, the apostle was never forsaken by a generous friend, whom he delighted to name his brother, his vicegerent, and the faithful Aaron of a second Moses.
Ali Imam Manasto Manam Gulam Ali Ali Imam Manasto Manam Gulam Ali Madar Jaan Girami Fidae Naam Ali
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, the son of Abu Talib, alayhi salam. So, dear friends, of course, as you very well know, brotherhood is something which is highly encouraged in Islam. Now, the brothers and sisters in Islam must treat one another with respect, with love, with care, with compassion, with mercy, with forgiveness. And of course, they must help one another. This covenant of brotherhood is something that we learn not only from the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam, but also from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We find that brotherhood is something that is integral in the religion of Islam. It is one of the pillars of Islam. And of course, as the Messenger of Allah has said, that the Muslim Ummah is like one body. So it is even closer than being two brothers or companions. So an interesting story regarding the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we see that one time Imam Ali alayhi salam was speaking about the covenant of brotherhood among the companions. And Imam Ali said, O Messenger of Allah, when I saw that you were making covenants of a brotherhood among your companions, but I was not singled out, it was as if my soul was going out of my body. If this is because I have done something wrong and you are angry with me, here I am for any punishment you deem proper. And so seeing Imam Ali's face in such a sad manner, the Messenger of Allah said, By Allah Almighty, the one who has appointed me as a prophet, the reason I overlooked you to speak to you was nothing but to reserve you as a brother for myself. As for your position to me, it is like Aaron's to Moses, except that there will be no prophet after me. So we find, dear brothers and sisters, that this covenant of brotherhood, this covenant of sisterhood, this covenant and this oath that Muslims have amongst one another, being the brothers and sisters of one another, being the helpers of one another, being the comforters of one another, is something that is in the seerah and the manners and the pattern of Imam Ali alayhi salam. To the point where Imam Ali alayhi salam became sad that the Messenger of Allah had not appointed a brother to him from among the companions. But lo and behold, we find that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household, had reserved Imam Ali as a brother for himself. And not only that, he gave the example and the position of Imam Ali to the Messenger of Allah is the same as that of Aaron to Moses, except that there is no prophet after the Messenger of Allah. The importance of brotherhood, the importance of being together and being united, a profound lesson, a beautiful lesson indeed, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRib English Radio, the program To My Brother. I'm Atta, the producer of this program, and at this moment, I invite you to listen to the Arabic text of Ziyara Aminullah along with the English translation. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. اللهم فاستجب دعائي واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes, in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridvi.
According to Abu Zar, the dua of the Prophet, Allahumma inna akhi Musa sa'alaka, where Musa prayed to you, Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir amri wa hlul uqdatan min lasani yafqahu qawli waj'al li waziran min ahli Harun akhi, had not yet completely ended when Jibreel came down. And he says, Ya Muhammad iqra. O Muhammad, read this ayat which has been revealed now. Innama waliyukum Allah. Verily your wali and master is only Allah. Wa rasuluhu. And his messenger. Walladhina amanu. Walladhina yuqimuna as-salat. Wa yu'tuna zakat. Wa hum raki'un. And the mu'min who gives charity in ruku, referring to Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. This is where Ali gets wilayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All other awliya are either appointed by Ali or Rasul. Because here the words are in exclusive form, innama. Verily, your wali is only Allah, Rasul, and Ali. Nobody else. And if others are there, they are connected to him and authorized by him or appointed by him. Now, the point of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this event. People ask this question, when this beggar was going around the first time, why didn't Ali give the ring at that time? Why it had to happen after the beggar complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that is where we have to realize When I stand on the musalla, I am aware of my surroundings. When Imam al-Muttaqin stands on the musalla, his body is there, his soul is there. This fellow went around, asked from the people. Ali was physically there, but spiritually oblivious of what is around, because he was submerged in the love and the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ibadah. It's only when that sa'il became qurbatan ilallah by his dua, got close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in praise and complaints to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's Ali became aware of his presence. And he acted accordingly by the response of giving the ring away at the time of ruku.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Imam Mahdi, Axis of Unity. In the name of God, Salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, we are in the Unity Week. The Unity Week is the period between the 12th and 17th of the Islamic month of Rabiul Awwal. As it has been said earlier, this week spans the 2 days believed by Sunni and Shia Muslims as the birthday anniversary of the Prophet of Islam. This initiative was proposed by Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, to bring Muslims of different sects closer to each other and make them a single monolithic ummah against the sworn enemies. Today we are going to discuss the role of Imam Mahdi as the axis of unity among Muslims. Stay tuned, please. More than 14 centuries have passed since the emergence of Islam, and there have been differences among Islamic denominations. History bears witness that whenever Muslims have practiced according to the teachings of the Noble Quran, they have achieved progress and power, while disputes and clashes have weakened them and paved the way for dominance of enemies. That's why God says in Ayah 46 of Surah Anfal of the Noble Quran, "And obey Allah and His Apostle and do not dispute, or you will lose heart and power will be gone. And be patient. Indeed, Allah is with the patient." Today, practicing this divine command seems quintessential, as the domineering system is hell-bent on fomenting discord among Muslims by every hook and every crook. However, Muslims enjoy many commonalities which can make them unified and monolithic. These main commonalities include the belief in one God, His Prophet, the Noble Quran, and also the belief in the awaited Savior of mankind, Imam Mahdi. May God hasten His reappearance. The Noble Quran clearly speaks of the universality of Islam and the rule of the righteous on planet Earth. Moreover, many narrations from Prophet Muhammad and his infallible Ahlul Bayt, blessings of God upon them, explicitly point to the lofty personality of Imam Mahdi and his global rule. In a famous hadith, the Prophet says on Imam Mahdi, "A man from my Ahlul Bayt stages an uprising whose name is my name and his nickname is my nickname. His temperament is like my temperament, and he fills the earth with fairness and justice as it has been filled with oppression and injustice." Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the leader of the Hanbali sect of Sunni Muslims, narrates a hadith from the Prophet. "If there remains only one day from the world life, God will make that day so long that a man from my progeny will rise up and fill the world with fairness and justice as it has been filled with oppression and injustice." According to the Quranic teachings and the words of the Prophet, all Muslims can share the belief in the coming of the last savior of mankind. Shia Muslims believe that Imam Mahdi has been born and lives in occultation by God's will, while most Sunni scholars maintain that he has not been born yet. What advantages can be achieved through unity around the axis of Imam Mahdi? Firstly, he is the symbol of hope in a bright future. Thus, the believers in his reappearance are not disappointed with the oppression of tyrants and the lackeys. They recall Ayah 105 of Surah Anbiya, where God says, "Uncertainly we wrote in the Psalms after the Torah, indeed my righteous servants will inherit the earth." Accordingly, Imam Mahdi will be the leader of the righteous. The righteous are awaiting for him, and this waiting is very important, as is considered as a great worship. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, says, "The greatest act of my ummah is waiting for the reappearance of Mahdi." For sure, this waiting should be constructive and real, rather than stupefying. In other words, the awaiting person should comply himself with the values and goals of the awaited Savior. This will act as an engine and will motivate the believer to do his best in removing the barriers of the coming of Imam Mahdi. The believers in Imam Mahdi never accept oppression and tyranny. Imam Mahdi is the reviver of the religion of his ancestor. So, how can one claim to be waiting for him while sitting idly with no reaction against injustice and corruption in the world? Muslims who are waiting for Imam Mahdi try to coordinate their life with the Islamic lifestyle. They do not pay attention to the destructive Western way of living where no human and divine value has remained. As it was said, Imam Mahdi will establish a global government on the basis of the Islamic teachings. Materialization of this goal is joyous for every Muslim and believer. This can be a strong factor for unity of Muslims. As a matter of fact, this unity and convergence on lofty values and ideas will set the ground for the reappearance of the awaited Redeemer of mankind. If Muslims gather around this lofty belief, God will surely expedite his reappearance.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, being role model for others. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of being a role model for others in the Islamic lifestyle. We know that in Islam, there is an importance of a person to be a role model, a person to be a perfect human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created us to become perfect. He had put the potential of being perfect in us. We have this potential in us, but practically we need to become perfect. And once we became perfect, we will become a role model for others. We are role model for our kids on the first level, then for our friends, then for our family, maybe after that for the people who are living in the same street, in the same town, and then a role model for the rest of world, maybe the country or rest of world. So it is important in the Islamic lifestyle that you become perfect first and then become a role model. And this is the whole idea why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mother to train the kids. It's because when mother inside the house, when she is not getting involved with the things that are outside the house, and she just pay attention to make herself perfect and go towards the perfection within the house. And then obviously when she becomes perfect, it is her duty to train the kids and to take them towards the perfection when they are in her hands. And after that, when they go to the society, basically she is giving the perfect human beings to the society. Therefore, it is important in the Islam to become a role model, but before that, to be perfect in our life, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of being a role model for others. We mentioned that Islam gives importance to this topic and it says that you need to become perfect. And Allah has given all the means, provided all the means of becoming perfect in our life. So when He has provided all the means of becoming perfect, then why not to become perfect? And once we are perfect, we can become the role model for the others. And this is how we can change the society. Because when I am applying the good things on me, when I am forbidding from the forbidden things, and I am performing the obligations myself, if I practically do this,
the people who are surrounding me, the people on whom I have effect, the people who can see me as a practical person in my life, obviously I will have effect on them and I will become their role model. There is a good saying that it is said that no person becomes a role model. The only point where a person becomes a role model is where people choose him to be the role model. And why is it? Because when people look at the lifestyle of a person, when people look how practically he lives, then they choose different people who match their lifestyle. Therefore, it is important to have a good lifestyle, to live perfectly, to perform all the obligations, to forbid from the forbidden things, the haram things, and also to be punctual in our life so that we can become a good role model for the others. Therefore, it is important for me to go through all this process and through my behavior, through my actions, through my speeches, I can become a good role model for them. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it. We have many narrations from Imam Ali Musallam in which they said that when a Shia goes into the society, he is identified because of his good actions, his good behavior with the people, because of him being most knowledgeable amongst those people, if even there were 1,000 people. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the limelight.
Protests have been held across the European Union against soaring inflation and a rising cost of living caused by West sanctions imposed on Russia. Thousands of protesters took to the streets in some of the EU's major capital cities, calling on the authorities to take measures and lift Russian sanctions. Another demand of the European demonstrations is the withdrawal of their country from the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. They say that NATO's proxy war on Ukraine and its expansionist policies are the source of most of the problems that member states are facing now. Concerning this issue, we have taken a look at some world media for further details. Stay tuned, please. The Sputnik News Agency reported several thousand protesters assembled outside the Reichstag, a historic government building in Berlin that houses the lower house of the German parliament, to show their disapproval of the government's policies and calling on authorities to lift sanctions against Russia. The demonstration held under the banner Our Country First was staged by the opposition right-wing Alternative for Germany AfD party. The participants blamed the government for rampant prices, inadequate social policies, and call for sanctions on Russian oil and gas supplies to be lifted. Some activists could be seen waving German and Russian flags and carrying posters that said, I want Russian gas and oil, and those who remain silent today will freeze tomorrow. Others were holding signs, both in German and in Russian. In September, the AfD party announced its protest campaign to express dissatisfaction with a sharp increase in food and energy prices in Germany and demand an end to the economic war, the lifting of anti-Russian sanctions and commissioning of the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline. The first protests were held in the German cities of Leipzig and Magdeburg, among others, and gathered several thousand people. Western countries have increased sanctions pressure on Russia since the start of the special operation in Ukraine. Disruption in supply chains has led to higher fuel and food prices across the EU, driving inflation to record levels and causing the cost of living to soar. France24.com wrote, thousands of protesters have gathered in Paris to call for an end to France's membership in the US-led NATO, chanting, "Let's get out of NATO." The demonstrators also protested against the high costs of living. They demanded that President Emmanuel Macron resign, calling on his government to stop supplying arms to Ukraine. On Wednesday, October 5th, French far-right leader Marine Le Pen stated that if she won the presidency, she would once again leave the military command of the US-led alliance. Ever since the Ukrainian crisis began, causing a severe energy crisis across Europe, anti-NATO sentiments have been rising among the Europeans. In France, petrol pumps have been running dry as workers' strike continues in the refineries of the major French oil companies. The strike, staged by France's hard-left CGT union at refineries of ExxonMobil and Total Energies, was originally intended to last 3 days, but it has now entered its 13th day. A CGT representative said it is continuing everywhere, adding that there had been no contact from Total Energies since recent call by the union for the company's bosses to start wage negotiations. On Friday, October 7th, riders faced the crunch as hundreds of meters long queues crawled out of petrol stations across the country, causing frustrations and long waits for commuters. Energy Minister Agnès Pannier-Runacher claimed in a statement, "The government is doing its utmost to restore the situation to normal as soon as possible." According to the French Energy Ministry, around 20.7% of service stations experienced difficulties on Saturday, October 8, compared with 19% the day before. Out of the total 6 refineries, there are currently not operating, cutting the production by 60%, equaling to 740,000 barrels of petrol a day, and affecting nearly one-third of the petrol stations across France. The workers who have staged a strike are demanding for a pay increase against a backdrop of a cost of living crisis and soaring profits in the energy industry. According to reports, the northern France region, mainly the northern Hauts-de-France region and Île-de-France around Paris, are the places most affected by the strikes. Press TV's website explains more about this story, saying multiple rallies also took place in the capital of the Czech Republic on Saturday, October 8. Protesters gathered in Prague's Wenceslas Square in protest of government's incapability to address the crushing cost of living and the downgrade in living standards. Italians, mostly union and party members, but also some local residents, also protested against the rising cost of living, inflation and energy tariff in the country, and denounced the lack of government action to help the less well-off. Last month, Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban called for a ceasefire to end the Russia-Ukraine conflict and said the sanctions had backfired and was dealing a blow to Europe's economy. Orban said in an interview with the local public radio, "Initially, I thought we had only shot ourselves in the foot, but now it is clear that the European economy has shot itself in the lungs and it is gasping for air." Orban has insisted that EU leaders should reconsider their strategy, as sanctions have caused widespread harm to the European economy without weakening Russia or helping resolve the months-long conflict. Since the beginning of Russia's military operation in Ukraine, Western countries have increased sanctions pressure on Russia. Disruption in supply chains has led to higher fuel and food prices across the EU, driving inflation to record levels and causing cost of living to soar. But due to the EU's over-reliance on Russian gas, anti-Russian sanctions have caused more damage to EU citizens than they did to Russia, and as EU governments struggle to find alternatives to Russian oil, the masses are taking to the streets to voice their opposition to NATO's proxy war in Ukraine.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Virtues of the Believers, Friday the 3rd of Ramadan, 1394, the 20th of September, 1974. Someone might say, I haven't done anything wrong and I'm not afraid of Allah. Of course, the only person who is afraid of a judge is someone who has committed a crime for which they deserve to be punished. But if someone is innocent, they will not be afraid. But again, what person can be sure that they have no sins? However, there is another kind of fear, one that does not spring from guilt but from knowledge. When a person comes face to face with something great and magnificent, they feel awe and wonder. This is part of what it is to be human. Our bodies and souls react in this way. Whenever a person is in the presence of something great, they feel a sense of awe. This awe is not the same as common fear, as a person might not have anything to fear in the sense of anything being done to him. On the contrary, awe comes from a realization of something else's greatness and a corresponding sense of one's own insignificance. This kind of fear is what we should feel towards God. And it is this kind of fear that is of benefit to us. Someone who feels small and insignificant before their Lord and sees that Allah has power and control over all things will only follow the path which Allah has traced out for him, without swerving onto any other path. This is the best guarantee that a Muslim individual or society will take action and strive for the sake of Allah.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
When you see that Imam Ali would awaken in the middle of the night, especially in the nights of the month of Ramadan, and shed tears, when you see that Imam Zainul Abidin would sometimes cry out, when you see that Allah's Messenger, despite his greatness, would not sleep in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, meaning that he did not see those nights as a time for sleep, but for worship, for prayer, for submitting to one's Lord, do you think these actions are things the Prophet and Imams only did for our benefit? How foolish it is to say that Imam Ali only uttered the dua of Abu Hamza Thumali in order to teach people something, rather than uttering these words from his own heart. How unaware someone must be of the spirit of supplication to imagine that Imam Ali only shed tears in order to teach us. Do you seriously mean to say that he made a show of weeping for us to learn? This is wrong. He truly shed tears. Why did he shed tears? Because he knew Allah better than we did. The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, saw the greatness of Allah's being, a greatness which the short-sighted vision of you and I cannot see. You are too great to be seen in a tiny mirror. A line from the Persian poet Shahriyar.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
The 2022 EU Ambassadors Conference was launched on Monday in Brussels against the backdrop of the war in Ukraine and its global consequences. Ambassadors from the EU's 145 delegations and offices around the world took part.
This is a perfect storm. First, prices increasing. Everybody's running to increase interest rates. This will bring us to a world recession.
Tensions between the West and Russia are rising. One official in Moscow claims a truck was used to attack the Crimean bridge last Saturday and had travelled through EU nation Bulgaria. The European Commission was asked to respond.
There are so many things coming out of Moscow and from these official so-called places which don't really merit any commentary. I mean, let me recall that the Crimea is Ukraine.
No one has yet claimed responsibility, but some analysts say the move was a strategic mistake.
The threats of a nuclear conflict are becoming more and more real. And I think it wasn't wise, it was really provocative to attack the bridge, especially military. Whoever did it, they haven't reached any significant result because the bridge resumed functioning the very same day.
12 months ago, EU agency the European Court of Auditors determined Ukraine is corrupt to the core. Despite this, the nation is set to become part of the EU's long-term budget. The European Commission says Kiev needs 3.5 billion euro per month to run the country.
Since the beginning of the war, we have supported Ukraine financially with, as Team Europe, with up to 19 billion euros. This is not including the military capability and equipment support.
Fighting intensified on Monday as Russia's military struck Kiev and other Ukrainian cities. The latest position from the West's perspective is due to become clearer later this week when a meeting of NATO defence ministers takes place here in the Belgian capital. Also, an EU leaders' summit is due to take place here at the end of next week. Analysts are not anticipating there will be many references made to peace talks. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
A study presented by the Bank of Italy on Monday raised the alarm on the Italian company's sentiment on the future. According to the report, based on information gathered between August 15 and September 15, spiraling inflation and uncertainty linked to the conflict in Ukraine have badly dented optimism. The Bank of Italy surveyed companies in the industrial and service sectors with at least 50 employees.
Bank of Italy's data was somehow predictable. One just needs to talk to people to realize how worrying the situation is. Maybe we must be aware that the financialization of the economy, a long-standing issue, is aggravating the economic situation and that companies must stop seeking high profits in a short span of time.
A third of the firm surveyed said difficulties related to rising energy costs had worsened in the previous 3 months, sparking a downward revision in the investment plans for the remainder of the year. The war between Ukraine and Russia has made an Italian energy crisis much worse. Italy received 40% of its gas imports before the conflict from Russia.
We are witnessing a spike in energy prices, which is only partially due to a shortage of supplies and also has roots in speculative strategies which threaten thousands of companies and alarm families.
The leader of a right-wing coalition that won elections about 2 weeks ago, Giorgia Meloni, is likely to become Italy's next prime minister. Meloni will face no shortage of challenges, from the budget and recovery plans to finding unity with allies and deciding how to handle the Ukraine-Russia war. So far, the Mario Draghi's government has spent 66 billion euros in an attempt to shield firms and families from surging energy costs. Italy's finances are set to be further put to the test as analysts predict the next government will be forced to increase fiscal aid or even to resort to a budgetary slippage. Max Civelli, Rome.
Dressed in their Sunday's best and singing words of praise, thousands of Muslims from around the world descended upon the northwest English town of Bolton to celebrate a historical figure whose legacy transcends time and space. Prophet Muhammad, his birthday called the Mawlid, celebrated in the third month of the Islamic calendar.
For these Muslims and millions of others around the world, Prophet Muhammad is an ethical and spiritual role model, and commemorating his life is another way of keeping his memory alive in the collective Muslim consciousness.
And it is that and his many other characteristics which attract these Muslims to the joyous occasion. The young are eager to tell us what the Prophet means to them.
Inspiration, and undoubtedly the most honest person you can ever think of. Best of all mankind, and the one you should actually truly believe in. Like, you can say, I believe in this person because he's a good man, good job. This person is the one you can really say, and with your heart and faith, say, I believe in him.
He means everything to me. He showed me how to live my life, how to treat other people, you know, how
the way I'd want to be treated is the same way I treat other people.
As well as making the Prophet and his legacy a constant in the lives of Muslims, the event sets out to change misconceptions among non-Muslims in the wake of insults against the Prophet in Europe in recent years and increased religious hate crimes on his followers.
Our religion that the beloved Prophet Muhammad has given us is a religion of peace, love and harmony, and it's to build unity and community, to bring the communities together.